if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 326. This is our 2024 Open d'Espagne tips podcast. Paul Williams joins me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's DP World Tour action. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
All good, mate. Weather's not so great, but we're cracking on as ever.
Yep. Monsoon season, I think, over here.
Absolutely. Is your house still in one piece? Or
yeah. Top of a hill, so we're lucky.
Oh, you're okay, yeah. It's the poor people below you. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have in-depth betting previews for this Open d'Espagne. We've got Club de Campo gain, strokes gained rankings, form stats, plus, of course, new and old predictor models. All of this content that Paul has lovingly pulled together is completely free of charge. There is no paywall. On X, follow Paul at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. As I said last week, we were down to zero. And I thought this might be a silent section of the show, but as of the weekend, John from Limerick, who actually lives in the UAE, it all makes sense, sent this wonderful 5-star review. Golf Betting System Goes Abroad is the title. Hi, guys. The only thing better than listening to the pod on the way home from work on a Tuesday with my mate Dodsey is a winner on Sunday. Highlights of the year so far have to be Steve's dozen second place finishes. I was on most. And Aaron Rye getting the job done for a full house. Love the pod, detailed analysis and bullish selections. Would love for you guys to come to any event in the UAE and host a live pod show. Beers on us when you come over. Cheers over the line. What's he saying? Beers on us when you do come over to cheer Rory over the line when we've backed him at 4-1. Keep up the good work and let's hope for a fruitful end to the season. In brackets, at Wentworth last week, he had Manicero and Lawrence. Cheers from John in Limerick. So Manicero and Lawrence must have been exciting, John, as we went into the back nine on Sunday at Wentworth.
Mm. Yeah, cheers, John. That must have been a painful Sunday in the end with those pair on board.
Like many.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it was one of those finishes, wasn't it, where ultimately it was exciting. It was good to watch. If you've got any of the players back, then the range of emotions must have been absolutely mad. Because, Billy Horschel, when he drove on 18, had virtually given up the tournament. He was slamming his club and, you know, he was not a happy chap finding the bunker. Mm. Especially with Tristan having a chance to go for the green in two on the 18th and choosing not to and ultimately making par. And then Rory from the fairway and again failing to make birdie, which opened the door for Billy. And we know what Billy can do at Wentworth because we've been there and seen it before. And the man's just like something possessed on those final few holes and gets the job done again. But yeah, exciting finish. I think both Tristan Lawrence and Rory will be ruining their finishes, I think, because really both of them perhaps should have won that tournament in regulation. But doesn't always pan out like that, does it?
If you're standing there in the fairway on 18, like Lawrence was, it's a tough old call, isn't it? Clearly, most people, aggressive players, would have gone for that gone for that second shot, but clearly he's got a lot to lose, hasn't he? He's now up to second place in the race to Dubai. He's pretty much guaranteed after that Wentworth result. Yeah. PGA Tour golf next season. And he's now jumped into the world's top 50.
I get
whether that crosses your mind when you're standing there and there's 1.7 million and the biggest title of your career on the line. I don't know. I've never been in that position, but
I think
played safe.
Given how it had panned out, and I know he's not going to be sitting there glued to the leaderboard at that stage, but he's sitting there on 20 under. Ultimately, the top three ended up being three shots clear of everyone else, so he could have afforded a double bogey on that hole and still finished in effectively the same position or virtually position.
Yeah.
So to choose not to go for it, you know, even if you go long and stick it in the bunker or in the rough at the back and give yourself a chance getting up and down, unless you've got the wedge game like Billy's got, and you know that steely look in his eye to go and again make that shot that sets up birdie on the final hole. Unless you've got that in your locker at that particular point in the tournament, then I think you've got to go for it. But you know, that's his choice. That's his choice. You know, Rory went for it and ultimately was lucky to get away with not going in the water, because you know, if that had been a little bit straighter, he'd have been wet. And you know, whether it would have been any different ultimately, who knows? But no, Billy, birdie, 17, 18, birdie on the first playoff hole, eagle to ultimately win it. That's very impressive stuff. Just made the birdies and eagles when it absolutely counted. Another really close miss for Rory, who must be getting must be getting a little bit disheartened with it now, I guess, that these very near misses that keep coming up on his tournaments.
At least he could nip home to his mansion round the corner, Paul.
He's still being built, isn't
he? Oh, I can imagine him in a porter cabin at the back of the garden there, like you know, the back of the garden. While he spent 18 million on the new pad. But yes, he's I don't know. Rory's he's an enigma, isn't he? But the trouble with Rory is he's under such high esteem and regard, and just everything's just magnified with him. But clearly he's gonna win very, very soon, and when Rory wins, he tends to win two or three on the bounce, so
oh, you wouldn't be remotely surprised if he went and won at the Earth Course. It's really quite feasible. He's playing the Dunhill Links next week. And we'll see.
Thing that got me at Billy Horschel, I do remember saying to you as we walked around the front nine on Friday, this course is absolutely perfect for Billy Horschel. But it's very rare you see Billy top strokes gained putting, and that literally joins Patton Kizzire the other week. He topped strokes gained putting. We're going through one of these phases where people are literally winning tournaments on the greens. You know, it's a bit strange.
Yeah. Well, you know, I talked briefly about Billy because he'd pulled out of the Irish Open with this.
That's right.
This kind of niggling little injury the week before, and even in his interview afterwards, he said that physically he didn't feel great all week. Didn't think he played particularly well on Sunday in particular. But as you say, if the putts find the bottom of the cup, then that's what matters in the end.
If the stats that I'm seeing are anything to go by, he was gaining over 2 strokes per round on the greens.
Mm.
He's nailing putts, mate. There you go. Did you enjoy your trip?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a pristine piece of land, isn't it? It's beautiful to walk around. It was great to meet up with a lot of listeners from the podcast over our stroll around. And we had that rather fortuitous rain delay or thunder delay while we were stuck in the bar around by the turn, which meant that our stay there got a little elongated.
To be fair, I think that was that to me was the call of the tournament.
Yeah.
We were there, weren't we, by the bar, and you could just see these death-like clouds rolling in and lightning heading. The lightning was sort of to the south of the course. And I just said to you, it's time to get 2 pints in, Paul. So you and I went to the bar. We got 4 pints between the two of us and then found an umbrella that we could shade, you know, get under and just stood there. And then literally the old horn went and it was just like it was a stampede, wasn't it, to get to the hospitality area. Next thing you know, you're waiting over an hour to get a beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was the call. We did meet Neil. Right. We met Neil Fay, didn't we? We met Harry from Wimbledon. Yep. Regards to those two, and then we also met various other listeners. There was a group of Irish lads that came over and said hello. So it was great to meet everybody. Mm. But it was strange, wasn't it? Literally, it was like something out of Harry Potter overhead. But there was very, very little precipitation.
They were
back on within an hour. That's quite good.
Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's good though.
Rather fortuitous timing with that, but all good.
It was a very good trip to Wentworth, as it always is. So I'm sure we'll be doing the same, and hopefully next year we'll have Barry in tow. Right. Race to Dubai, top 10 in terms of... Well, Rory's heading the... Rory's won it, effectively. If we're looking at the top 10 that are heading to the PGA Tour, Lawrence moves to number 1. Rasmus Højgaard at 2. Billy Horschel, by the way, jumps to number 3 overall. Matteo Manassero at 3. Højgaard and Lawrence are locks. Manassero looks pretty, pretty rock solid as well in 3. Then you've got Jesper Svensson, Nicholas Norgaard, had a decent Wentworth. Sebastian Soderberg, Rikuyu Hoshino, who we watched a bit of. Tom McKibbins jumped into the top 10. Had a good Wentworth, now into 8th spot in these rankings. Romain Langasque at 9, and number 10, who looked like he had a face that had been spanked when we followed him for a few holes, Paul. Guido Migliozzi, who... missed the cut at Wentworth.
Mm.
Outside of those, Lacroix dropped out, Cantor WD'd, Jordan Smith, and then we've got Nacho Elvira and Ewan Ferguson. So all of these guys are directly in a fight for these PGA Tour cards that they're dishing out at the end of the year.
Yeah, sounds like we're going to lose a few talented sorts from the DP World Tour yet again this season. So,
yeah.
But, it gives those guys something tangible to fight for over the next few weeks. As you say, Rory's looking really strong at the top of the Race to Dubai itself. But, you've got this whole narrative sitting just below it, haven't you, with these guys absolutely fighting for their chance to go and play the PGA Tour.
I won't go through the Ryder Cup positions yet because it all seems a bit too early and all a bit too tenuous. But it's interesting, as a segue, the quality of field that we have this week at the Open d'Espagne, which can be a little bit ropey.
Mm.
But this year features the returning John Rahm, who withdrew from the LIV team event with flu-like symptoms, and then jumped on his private jet and headed to Europe. Don't know if actually, he probably waited for his mate Tyrrell to get on board and then they jetted off together. Because Fleetwood's playing, Hatton's come across, Aaron Rye's moved down there from Wentworth, as has Shane Lowry. Matt Wallace has travelled down. Patrick Reed is playing, interesting. Matteo Manassero, Matteo Pavon, the defending champion, Sepp Straka, Victor Perez. I mean, it's a quality field. Victor Perez. And then you're down to the likes of Alex Fitzpatrick, David Puig, Ewan Ferguson, Adrian Otegi, who seems to have a decent record in his home event, Richard Mansell, and Jorge Campillo. who looks like he'll be one of the returning DP World players from the PGA Tour this year, with Alex Bjork. They haven't had the most successful campaigns over in the States. So we're playing the same course that we played the last few years. Is that correct, Paul?
We are, yeah. It's the Club de Campo Villa de Madrid. So if you're looking through the stats on the site this week, then, of course, the Open de España has historically hopped about from various venue to venue. But since 2019, of course, we didn't have an event in 2020. And then from 21 through to 23, it's all exclusively been here at the Club de Campo. So, yeah, there's a little bit of course form. There's some older form as well, going back to the Open de Madrid and Tour España Masters and those kind of events back in the early, mid-2000s. But, yeah, in terms of very recent events held here, they're the ones to be looking at. So I have marked them on the combination stats and the event stats this week. So if you're flicking through that data, then make sure that you're looking at the right events and years for this week. But yeah, it gives us something to work with. As Steve said, it's a cracking field, isn't it? And again, with no PGA Tour action, it's given the bookies the opportunity to give us some decent each way terms. So I'll just take you through some of the prices at the very top, just to give you a flavour. John Rahm, 7-2 favourite. Not much of 7-2 left, actually. 130 may well go off at 3-1 if he gets a lot of support between now, Tuesday morning, and the off. He's obviously appealed his fines, which has given him the chance to play this week. He's playing next week as well at the Dunhill Links. So these few events will then tick off his requirement, won't they, for
yes,
for the Ryder Cup, which I believe he's got to play three, is that right, between now and the end of
this year,
of the year.
Yeah. Yes. So that's, hence why he's playing, hence why Hatton's playing.
Yeah, it's given these guys the opportunity to get their requirement done. But yeah, Rahm ahead the market, 7-2. Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, both 8-1. Aaron Rye, Shane Lowry, 14-1. So there's no bargains at the top end of the market there. Wallace 22s, Patrick Reed, you mentioned 25-1, 28-1 bar those players. But yeah, Boyle Sports, Betfred, Bet365, all of them as usual have their 8 place each way options. William Hill, Ladbrokes, Coral, all of them standard 8 places each way. A fifth of the odds are 2 this week. So make sure you have a little look around. There are some good combinations of each way terms and prices available this week. Onto the course, Club de Campo, as we said, it's a tree-lined resort course is how I'd describe it. It was designed by Javier Arena back in 1956, so relatively old style, old designed course. Not long, 7,154 yards, par 71. Pretty wide fairways, I'd say, but reasonably small bent power putting surfaces. Three reachable par fives, that's if you can hit the fairway around here, which generally isn't that difficult, but hit the fairway and the par fives and it gives you a good chance of finding the putting surface or thereabouts. 20 under or deeper tends to be the winning score here in good conditions. So it tends to be a bit of a birdie fest. Thursday's interesting this week though. The only day with any real weather, it looks like there's 20 mile an hour, pretty consistent 20 mile an hour winds blowing across the course, gusting 30 and above at times. So I think Thursday will be, relative to the way that this course plays, it'll be a pretty tough day. People will still be under par. It's not going to be a US Open by any stretch because the course isn't like that. But rather than people going out and shooting 61s, 62s, you might find the best score of the day is maybe a 65 or 66, something like that. And a few people having a bit of a meltdown in the wind is quite possible again, I expect. After that, dry and sunny. The weekend looks really good. It's relatively chilly, though, particularly for the time of year over there. It's only topping out about 70 Fahrenheit, so 21 centigrade, that kind of number. And the mornings are going to be really quite chilly, sub 10 degrees centigrade, so sub 50 Fahrenheit in the mornings before it starts to warm up. So I wonder if the winning score is going to be a little bit off where it tends to be. Give you a flavour, the four winners since the move or the event moved here back in 2019, John Rahm won the first one at 22 under. He was a 10 to 3, 100 to 30 shot. 2021 was Rafa Cabrera Bayo, 19 under, as a 55 to 1 shot. 2022 was Rahm again, 25 under that week, that year. 5 to 2 for Rahm that week. And then 2023, last year, Mathieu Pavon, 23 under par. And he was a 90 to 1 shot. So you look at Rahm's two wins, 10 to 3, 5 to 2. So putting his 7 to 2 or thereabouts in context this year, I think really that's just a function of the fact that you've got these better players. You've got the Hattons and the Fleetwoods and the Lowrys and the Ryes at the top of the market, which have just diluted his price just a little bit. In some of those previous years, he's come here and he's been such a clear favourite with very little quality below that it's been difficult to kind of look past him in that respect, I guess. Those older events, just to kind of complete the circle there, they were from 2004 back through to 2008. They were won by Richard Sterney, Raphael Jacquelin, and Charles Schwartzel. Again, similar kind of winning scores in that kind of upper teens to lower 20s under par. So pretty much the same story every time. Make birdies, make eagles. Minimise bogeys as well. That's an interesting point here because, and it's similar when you touch on kind of low scoring events over in the States, Steve. It's these, it's as much as it's about making birdies and eagles, you can't be making mistakes or with regularity.
You've bogeys will kill you. Absolutely. Doubles will certainly kill you in terms of winning. Mm-hmm. You've got to keep a clean card, haven't you?
Yeah, you've got to keep it as clean as you possibly can. And Pavon last year was a great example because he only made three bogeys in the course of his four rounds. So make your birdies and eagles, but also keep that card as clean as you possibly can. And that kind of comes through in the scrambling numbers as well, which you might not expect so much on this kind of a test. But the last four winners, each of them ranked inside the top seven for scrambling. So don't be giving any shots away. From a strokes gain perspective, Rahm was first for strokes gain tee to green on both of his wins. Rafa was third when he won. Pavon was top 15 last year. Pavon, though, first for strokes gain around the green, first for strokes gain putting last year. Rahm was fourth and ninth for putting when he won his two events. So I think you've got to be pretty hot on the greens to make the score here. Over the weekend this year, the wind drops away to virtually nothing. I think it's going to be absolutely lights out over the weekend. So if the scoring is fairly tough, you know, in relative terms on Thursday, Friday's better, Saturday, Sunday, I can see people going out there shooting 61, 62, 63, which means you're going to have a pretty hot putter to be able to compete and contend, I think. In terms of incoming form of our winners here, each of the top four or each of the four winners over the last four events that have been held here at Club de Campo, all of them had a top 20 in one of their last three starts. So some fairly immediate form isn't a bad shout. Pavon was sixth on his previous start. Rahm was second at Wentworth and became really close to winning that year and then won here in 2022 on his next start after that. So some incoming form's good. Course form, well, Rahm's debutant back in 2019. He'd won the year before at the Centro Nacional de Golf. That was his first Spanish Open. Of course, he won the 2019 and then won again in 2022. So he has three to his name already. Rafa was second the year before when he won in 2021. Rahm won again in 2022. And then Mathieu Pavon last year, he was second. the year before winning here last year. So course form is one of those factors that I think you should certainly look at this year. There are only four renewals in the more recent past, so I can see debutants or lesser experienced players getting in the mix, but certainly don't disregard the course form this year or this week, because I think there's some value in taking a close look. And that's probably all we got to go on, really. I've backed four this week. I've got a couple near the top, and then I'll bring you in, Steve, see where you're pitching your thoughts this week. There's some real quality at the top of the market, isn't there? You can't ignore it. You can't ignore Rahm at 7-2. I suspect, as I say, it'll be nearer 3-1 by the start. He won by 5 here back in 2019. He won by 6 in 2022. So when he has won, he's been absolutely dominant. Fighting to get into the Ryder Cup. Ultimately that was part of his plan to get here to fight the fines and the ultimately to put his appeal in to allow him to play this week was so that he could find his way through to make the Ryder Cup. So he's got reason to come here and to play. The thing that puts me off, I mean, you mentioned that he was kind of fluey last week. As to how much he's in that, we shall see. I expect he's absolutely fit as a fiddle. Thursday's
this isn't a cynical podcast, Paul.
No, not in the slightest, no.
Not a cynical podcast.
He might have had a little sniffle, I suppose. Thursday's forecast is the little thing that puts me off, because a windy forecast can throw anyone off. You can have a bad hole, you have a couple of bad holes, and if you get away to a slow start here, I wonder if you're going to be able to physically catch up. And I think John will know that. We don't know the tee times as we're going out on this. There's potential that he gets caught in a slightly worse side of the draw. It could, you could see the angry John coming through should he be going out in the afternoon where it's nasty and windy and someone's already posted a reasonable score in the morning. And if he falls way off the pace, then I think that's going to be a bit of an uphill struggle over the weekend when you've got to go there and absolutely shoot lights out. Now, of course, the flip side of that is he goes out and shoots 66 on Thursday, no trouble at all, and just walks the tournament. So there's always that risk. But at the price, 3-1 or thereabouts, I can't go there, I don't think. You could make a case for a lot of the others, couldn't you? The Hattons and the Fleetwoods, 8-1 for the pair. I'd be more inclined to go with Hatton than Fleetwood at that price, given the winning
They're
regularity.
They're not high converters, are they? I was just looking at Hatton. You take that LIV result this year. That was his first win since 2021, Abu Dhabi, start of the year. Yeah. You're getting, what, 8-1?
Yeah. And
incredible, mate.
And ultimately, Rahm can win, and 8-1 then looks, well, you, in all likelihood, you don't go each way with him, and it's just a lost bet. I couldn't go there. Rye, again, he had a chance on Sunday, and kind of just, when push came to shove, having put himself in position, it just didn't happen. Shane Lowry's just looking increasingly jaded, I think. I think he just needs to have some time off, doesn't he? So, whilst any of those guys could win, I've gone a little bit deeper, not massively deeper. I'm backing Matt Wallace at 20-1 with 8 places. 22's out there if you want to take the bog standard, but 20-1, 8 places each way is the way that I have played it this week. And Wallace has got his own Ryder Cup agenda, as we know. Rahm, as we said, he needs to play this to tick off his tournaments. With Wallace, he needs to do as much as he can, as soon as he can, to make sure that he's right up there with his, in terms of qualification. And with Rasmus, with Rory, both of them not playing this week, and both of them ahead of him right now in the rankings, he can put himself back at the top of the list. And I think from his perspective, that will just continue to keep the hunger and motivation going over this period of time. If he's sitting there and looking at himself at the top of the rankings going into these final few events of the season, I think he seems really motivated, really hungry to make that. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's a massive motivator. He's talked about it being a massive motivator, so it's got to be something that's on his mind. He won at Crans-sur Sierre a few weeks back. He really had to grind at times there. There were some tough days in that as well. So that bodes well for Thursday, I think. And we've seen him back up wins in quick succession in the past as well. Back in 2018, it was, he won three times on the DP World Tour in the space of a few months. He won six times in the space of 8 months on the Alps Tour in 2016. At one point, it was three wins in 4 weeks. So, I know that was a lower level, but it does show that this guy has the ability, when he finds top form, to go out and continue and maintain that for a period of time. Last week, 12th at Wentworth. That was a personal best for him over there in Surrey. Closed with a 64. That tied with the best round of the day. Debutant this week, but it's got a really good record at lower levels in Spain as well. A couple of top tens. I think he could push Rahm all the way this week. And if there's one player, ultimately, if someone is going to beat Rahm, if he's up there, then it's going to have to be someone who's got that ability and that guile to do that. And of the players I look down the list, I think the one that's most likely to really push him is Matt Wallace. So quite happy to side with him this week. The other relatively short player that I've backed is Mateo Manacero. Another one with a good record in Spain. He won the Castello Masters back in 2010. That was his first event over in Spain at the time. Seventh in this event back in 2012. Six further top 20 finishes from his last seven visits to Spain at all levels over the last few years. So seems to come alive when he finds his way over to onto Spanish soil. Shot 63 at Wentworth on Saturday. That gave him a 3-shot lead going into the final day. So it was looking good. I'm sure John, our reviewer, would have been really excited at that point. It just didn't quite happen. There's a lot of pressure on him, I guess. He was looking for that repeat of his win from 11 years ago at Wentworth. And, there was plenty of noise about that. There's plenty of expectation. Just didn't quite happen on the Sunday. But fourth in the end, third the week before in Northern Ireland. Crucially, I think, second and fifth for strokes gained putting over the last 2 weeks. So the putter's working. He's seeing the ball find the bottom of the cup with regularity, and he's coming to what is a short, scoreable track that I really think should suit. Only one time that he's played here, back in 2019. He missed the cut, but he opened with a 68 that week. And that was a year where basically he was shooting 80 virtually every other round. So for him to actually go out and shoot a half-decent round here before narrowly missing the cut was a positive, I think. And right now, Mateo Manacero is just a different beast. He is so much better than he was back in 2019, in that period of time where his game was gone. So, yeah, I think he could well be one that's right back in the mix. And as you mentioned, another one who's looking good for that PGA Tour card. So,
yeah,
anything extra that he can do right now is going to reinforce that. So I think the hunger will be there.
Who'd think it, eh? Mateo Manacero, after all of his trials and tribulations, getting a PGA Tour card. Mm. I mean, that is a good news story.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's looking very possible and very likely, isn't it? Mm. He's in a great position. So, and he'll know it. Go out there and do well again this week, or one or two times before the end of the season, and that will cement that position for him for next year. So big motivator, I think. Now, my next one is 80-1. So, have you got any in that kind of bracket? Or this
you
kind
have
of
to bear with me. How my funky mind works. I backed Aaron Rye 14-1.
Mm.
I just think he's playing incredible golf. He was, I think he was second for Tee to Green last week.
Yep.
Behind Paddy Harrington. Paddy there, eh? Oh, Padraig pulling back time. Top tee to green last week, I believe.
Yeah, there'll be some more seniors titles coming his way very soon, I suspect.
Incredible.
Mm.
I've taken it right. I've also got to cover Ram, but I need to do it in a creative way. I can see Ram doing one of two things. I can see him finishing kind of ninth. And there's a bun fight, and he doesn't really get involved, and someone like Rye takes it out. He's playing great golf, or someone like Wallace or Manicero, one of these form guys. Or I can see Ram winning it. Mm. I think he's got a lot to prove, chip on his shoulder. If you look at it from a motivational perspective, John Rahm coming over here and beating up a decent field at his own home open kind of stacks up pretty well. But I can't just back him at that price. So I thought, why not get the President's Cup involved? Yes, the President's Cup is taking place, of course, over in Canada. I've been bleating on about it most weeks in terms of how players qualified for it. The bet that interested me if I was going to do a double was Xander. Xander Schauffele in some shape or form. And this morning, Boyles are hanging a 6-1 that he will be top American point scorer with three places each way. I caught the odds. So I'm going to do an each way double, and it works out with Rahm 29-1 on Rahm and Xander, top USA point scorer at the President's Cup in Montreal this week. And in that way, at least, you know, John can win and then Xander can lose his singles match and he finishes fourth top American point scorer and we end up with nothing.
Well, you never know.
But yeah, 29-1 across two golfers of that ilk. I didn't think it was too bad. A little double to get on. So that's where I've kind of called it. Rye win only at 14-1 and that 29-1 each way double on Rahm to win in Spain and Xander to be top US point scorer.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see the logic of trying to make the price longer. And
yeah.
It's what can you say about Xander? He's playing some great stuff. He has been for some time, hasn't he? And pushed Scotty all the way this year for the Player of the Year. Or will push Scotty all the way for the Player of the Year title, I suspect. But I can see where you're coming from. I think you're probably right with your assertion about Rahm. Is he probably either wins by 5 or 6 as he's done twice already, or he's not quite there. It's not quite happening for whatever reason, and just kind of meanders along to a top 20 or thereabouts.
It was quite a big deal for him to drop out of that team event. I wouldn't have thought that was something, a decision that was made lightly.
Mm.
You know, clearly to make that decision with all the money that's involved out there, we're not a cynical podcast, so it would seem that he wasn't feeling right, yeah. Which can't be great when you're about to jump on a private jet to come across the Atlantic to come to your own event. It's not the ideal build-up, is it?
No.
But when you look at it from a motivational perspective, I think, he always plays best, John Rahm, when he's got a chip on his shoulder. Just always does. And clearly he's got back into that winning mentality. He's got hungry. He won the individual live title. So yeah, I can kind of see him either, yeah, finishing tied eighth or being right in there in the hunt and staring down some players that just in the end capitulate.
Yeah, just a bit of Sunday wilting, quite possible.
The other one I fancy, and he's available right now, if I was taking the extended each-way places, I'm taking them with Boyle Sports at 35-1. Oh, sorry, I'm not. I'm taking him with Ladbrokes at 40-1, 8 places each way. Is another live player, this David Puig.
Mm.
He's a very talented sort. Hits the ball a mile. I think he was 21st here on the only time that he's played on the Open d'Espagne. I thought that was a decent price on a very talented individual. He's kind of there. You've got Sepp Straka playing. By the way, Sepp Straka's playing. You know, he's doing this, isn't he? Just ticking off these three events that he needs to. So Sepp's in for the Ryder Cup qualification. You've got Sepp at 33s, similar price to Perez. Then you get this jump to 45s or 40s and 45s. He's there along with Alex Fitzpatrick, Ewan Ferguson. He's that kind of quality, just sitting there under the main players. This Puig guy, he's a very talented sort. And I would have thought that playing his home open would be something he'd be really looking forward to. Would not be. He's the kind of player that I wouldn't back. And then when he's sitting there writing contention on Friday afternoon, you're going, well, why haven't you got a penny on this Puig that you really do keep quite a close eye on? So, yeah, Puig is the other one that I'm taking at that 40-1 price point, 8 places each way with Ladbrokes or Coral.
Yeah, one of those modern style golfers, isn't he?
He hits it a mile, doesn't he?
It's a long way and putts really well. And if he keeps the ball in play this week, then he could be. He kind of suits the birdie fest style course, I think. His style.
Yeah,
of play,
it's so. Whether he can get through that tricky Thursday with Puig. But I have noticed in your preview that putting here is very important when it comes to the winner. Got to have a very positive putter. And you've always said to me, this guy hits it a long way and he can be lights out on the green. So yeah. I think that stacks up for me.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we're only going off fairly basic live stats, but certainly seems to be. Certainly seems to be of that.
And he's not afraid of winning either. When you look at his record, he's won all around the world.
Yeah.
So he's clearly a class above a lot of these. Who's your next tip?
Yeah, I couldn't put you off. I've got a couple of others at longer prices. Shubhanka Sharma, 80-1. I've taken with 8 places each way. Overnight, the spread firms have come up with standard each way terms at 125. I'd already taken the 80. To one with 8 places. Happy with that. 12 straight cuts he'd made prior to going to Wentworth. Missed a cut. I wonder if that will just galvanise him. Sometimes missing a cut can just allow players to kind of take stock and realise they're actually playing some really good golf and come back and do something better the following week. Twice a winner at this level, both on scoreable tree line tracks in the past as well. He won at the 2017 Joburg Open. That was 23 under. 2018 Malaysian Open at 21 under as well. Third here on this track back in 2021. Opened with a pair of 66s last year. Was in a great position, but then drifted over the weekend. For me, he talks about putting, Steve. He's putting so much better this year. 10th for strokes gained putting overall for the season. Generally, he's kind of a mid-level putter in that kind of 50th, 70th on tour level. So for him to have catapulted up to 10th, something is certainly going right with his putter this year. And I think he could bounce back this week. He's been playing some good stuff. You know, we've got the course form to boot as well. So Shubhanka Sharma at 80s. Adrie Arnaus is the other one at 150-1 with 8 places each way.
You love this guy, don't you?
Yeah,
you love him.
I think he's really talented. I think he's just so erratic that you don't know what you're going to get. But if you pick the right week, you're going to get a fantastic each way player or potentially someone who's really pushing on for the win. So you only have to look down his form for 2024 and you'll see how hit and miss it is. And, you know, in fact, it's far more miss than it is hit. But there's just that odd sign there's something there, some underlying form. And perhaps when he's returning to home soil this week, it'll just spark something special. Mm-hmm. Loads of missed cuts, as I say, but he did finish 5th at the Italian Open back in June, 12th at the Czech Masters in August. Putting well enough. He's an odd player, isn't he? Because you go back a few years and it was all about the long game with Arnaus and the guy couldn't putt and completely turned that on his head. He's putting well, has been for some time. Long game is just all over the place. But I guess if he's going to find any form, if he's going to find that spark that means all the stars align, then it's likely to be here. It's likely to be on home soil. He won the Catalunya Championship in 2022. He was fourth here on debut back in 2019. An unlucky second to Rafa Cabrera-Bello back in 2021. Could well have won that, perhaps should have won that. And I think if he can just find that spark, then perhaps he does place at 150-1. Perhaps he pushes John Rahm all the way to the end. We shall see. But yeah, I thought at that price he was worth taking a chance on. So that completes my team. My four: Adrian Al, Shabanka Sharma, Matteo Manassero, and Matt Wallace. Any longer prices catch your eye at all, Steve?
There's one. I'm just going to say, one thing I forgot to say at the top here is please, another five-star review or five-star reviews would be fantastic. Because again, next week, there is nothing in the well. So it will be a very quiet 30-second segment of pure silence next week without a five-star review. So please get them in. Don't forget, five-star button on Spotify, and if you could press the like button if you're listening to this on YouTube, all the better. I'm going for another big hitting Spaniard.
Yep.
You ready?
Go on.
Alejandro Del Rey.
Yeah.
I've got him 90-1. I've literally just backed him while you were talking about Arnoux. 90-1, eight places each way with Betfred via their Pick Your Place extended market. I'm excited about Del Rey because, again, a talented sort and hits it a long way, and he can be a very, very strong putter. Just to put that into some kind of context, he was seventh last week at Wentworth. Now, if you're saying to me about a golf course that doesn't suit Alejandro Del Rey, it's probably Wentworth, too tight, too claustrophobic. The number that grabbed me with him, and he popped up on a leaderboard a couple of weeks ago, was the Irish Open, where he was second after round one and fourth heading into the weekend. Now, again, big hitter, really make a lot of sense to me. But on this golf course, he's all very, very prominent on your strokes gain rankings. He's fourth for tee to green. I know he played here last year. He's 12th overall. So he clearly got on well with the course. I believe he finished 12th last year.
17th, but yeah, 17th. It was decent, yeah.
So yeah, Alejandro Del Rey for me.
Yeah, did
three made time. Cuts, playing some decent golf. You just know that there's going to be some Spaniards in the mix, undoubtedly. There always is.
Yeah. No, I had a good look at Del Rey. As you say, did putt well last week. These resort courses, again, are the kind of course that are likely to suit. I did back him, I forget where it was, earlier in the year. And, he was prominent for a while and then kind of dropped off. I don't think he's quite the finished article. But, again, you know, these home opens can spark something, can't they, with these players? And
I remember an interview reading it last year, and John Rahm said this Del Rey guy is going to be some kind of player. So that's praise from someone like John. He said, you know, of up and coming Spaniards, Del Rey was towards the top of that list.
Yeah.
So clearly a talented sort, as is Arnoux, as is Puig.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it must have been the PGA Championship. I think they played some practice rounds together, didn't they? But talented sort. Del Rey was on the radar. Daniel Hillier was on the radar as well. Dan Bradbury as well, who's got a good record here and has had some sparky rounds here and there over the last few weeks. So there's a few longer shots that you could go for. You could make a case of just going for a team of five or six triple digit plays this week and just seeing if you could make your money back that way. Alfredo Garcia Heredia is another one. He popped up at Crans, didn't he, a few weeks back,
and he's got sixth and ninth here in his last two visits.
Yeah, and again, you're getting three figure price for him as well. So yeah, there's a case for going down that route, and I wouldn't put any punters off just doing a five or six card long shot option this week and seeing how that takes you. So, but yeah, no, we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. We'll see if John just goes and mops up by six, which is not out of the realms of possibility.
It isn't. I'm just looking at Bet365 as we're sitting here. Alfredo Garcia Jure is 110-1. I might have to have a couple of pennies each way on that as well, because it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, he's got a good record here.
Sixth and ninth, and clearly second a couple of weeks ago out at Crans-Jorsier. Still needs to do something in terms of just locking his card up for next year.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. £1.50 each way on Alfredo. So there we are then. So that's me, 110-1 on him to go with the others. I've actually got some golf next week, Paul. The Sanderson Farms Championship from the Country Club of Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the purest Bermuda grass greens on the planet, I keep reading when I look at previous player interviews. It's good to know that.
Yeah, well, that should very help helpful. Putters.
Very helpful, yeah, indeed. Well, Mackenzie Hughes has won there, so it does tell you. Well, to be fair, the last two winners there, I mean, you want two people at poles apart. Mackenzie Hughes and Luke List.
Ah, yes. This is the one where List nailed that 40-footer, isn't it?
45-footer in the playoff against Pete. Of all people, not that we knew. Well, we kind of knew he was special, but we didn't know how special he was. Ludvig Åberg.
Mm.
Prior to his Ryder Cup antics.
Yeah. Yeah, Luke List comes along and nails an absolute bomb to snatch it from everyone's from under everyone's nose.
Mm. Indeed. So we've got that next week. Well, and you've got Dunhill Links, yeah?
We've got the Dunhill Links. And again, another really strong field. So Rahm's playing, Fleetwood Lowry, Rory, Matt Fitz.
Brooks Koepka's playing.
Yeah, Tyrrell. Billy Horschel's playing. Both Højgaards, yeah, absolute stacked field next week. So another juicy one to get our teeth into.
Does seem to be the choice, the tour of choice, doesn't it, with Livsters, the DP World Tour. We'll see whatever happens with all of this when it all eventually comes together.
Yeah.
But it's good to see better players in these fields, so it's all good. Right, I hope your bets go well, Paul.
Yeah, best of luck.
Hope all the bets and your fantasy teams go well to the listeners. We'll be back next week for another Golf Betting System podcast. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the Golf Betting System, the Golf Betting System, it's the Golf